Proverbs chapter 20. Would you turn to Proverbs 20, please? Proverbs 20, good to see you here tonight. Appreciate your desire to be here and trust that the Lord will work in answer to prayer. Proverbs chapter 20. In Central and South America, there lives a rather unique creature. It measures 2.5 feet long, usually weighs only about 8 to 17 pounds. It has huge claws, which are not actually mainly used for what you might think. Their claws actually enable them to hang on to tree limbs. In fact, they rarely leave their tree. The creature is known for moving slowly and supposedly sleeping a lot. It's called a sloth. A sloth. According to the National Geographic, they're so incredibly sluggish that algae actually grows on their fur. They can actually blend in with other plants because of the color of their algae-infested hair. There's another creature, not quite so foreign to our climate, which upon first consideration seems so very different from the sloth. The second creature's blood is green. It can stretch out to 20 times its normal length, enabling it to squeeze through the smallest of openings. It has approximately 27,000 teeth and can glide without difficulty over glass shards or even the edge of a razor blade. How many of you think you've guessed it? Nobody. Good. The second creature is called a slug. A slug. At first glance, the sloth and the slug seem worlds apart. But on further investigation, it's seen that they're actually quite similar, at least in one major point. They've both become word pictures describing the character of certain types of people. What do you mean? These descriptive word pictures have actually been used in our English Bibles to give us a clear warning about the serious sin of laziness. So the one who is lazy or inactive or apathetic is sometimes called slothful, or he is referred to as a sluggard. The sloth and the slug. The English word slothful, most of the times that it is used in Proverbs, and every instance of the word sluggard, are the translation of but one Hebrew word. And by this word, the character and consequence of a certain kind of person are discussed. So look at Proverbs chapter 20, and we'll strike out tonight on a look at the character and the life of the sluggard, or the slothful man. In Proverbs chapter 20, and in verse number 4, we read that the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. He'll not plow, it says, by reason of the cold. It's not to say necessarily that the cold is actually the reason that he won't go out. It's just the excuse that he gives. It's one reason that he can find to not go out and work. Someone said, a poor workman always finds fault with his tools. And in a similar way, a slothful man can make plenty of excuses. Another one is found in chapter 22 in verse 13. Chapter 22 in verse 13. In this case, it almost seems far out. Now, maybe in the context, it was a little bit more likely, but still seems a little interesting. Proverbs 22, verse 13, the slothful man says, there's a lion without. There's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. I can't leave. I'll be eaten. Some people will just go to any lengths, really, to find an excuse to not have to do what they ought to do. He really, when it comes down to it, just won't admit that he's lazy. Instead, he'll make excuses. It's always someone else's fault, or there's always some condition of the circumstances that mitigate why he isn't doing what he should be doing. The slothful man really has a problem with these two things, pride and self-centeredness. Pride because he refuses to admit that he's wrong, and self-centeredness because his world revolves around himself. He's the slothful man, the sluggard, and he can always make excuses. And there's no trying to reason him out of it usually, because look at Proverbs 26 and verse 16. Proverbs 26 and verse 16. It says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." In other words, he's got it all figured out and he's smarter than the lot of you. All right, you get seven men over here that can actually render a well-thought-out, logical, good answer, and he pits himself against them and says, "Now, I know better than that." He's wiser in his own conceit than those seven men. And now you get to see where this leads him in life. In Proverbs 15, Proverbs 15, in verse 19, Proverbs 15, in verse number 19, says, "The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns." That is, his life could be compared to a literal hedge of thorns. If we were trying to walk through the woods this evening, we would look for a clear path, right? We would try to find a path through the woods and through various trees that was just clearest of the most shrubs and briars and pricker bushes. But as this slothful man tries to make his way through life, it's like he's constantly walking through a briar patch. Have you ever been there before? You've gotten a little bit too far into the trail and you've gotten caught up. And it snags your pants, and you try to take another step or try to peel a few off, and you move a little bit. It seems like when you back up, it catches you in five more places. And it just seems like you take, kind of like we say sometimes, you take one step forward and five steps backward. That's the slothful man's life, that he's constantly getting caught up, and even when he seems to rectify the situation, it only gets worse because his way is as a hedge of thorns. Why is it as a hedge of thorns? Well, it all comes back to his character. Because he's a man who makes excuses and won't do what he ought to do. Now look at Proverbs 13. This is not to say that the man is so lazy that he doesn't want anything. This is interesting about the slothful man. Because Proverbs 13 and verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing." He still desires, but he doesn't have anything, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So he still has these desires in him that says, "Oh man, I wish I had that. Oh man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go on that trip. Oh, I wish I could have that thing that I see on TV. Oh man, that sure be nice if I could do that like that guy does. I wish I could have what he has." Oh, he's filled with desires. He has desires like you and me have, but he's never going to see the realization of them. Bible says he's going to have nothing because he refuses to work. Look on, if you will, in Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 tells us even more about these desires. Proverbs 21 and verse 25 says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." Have you ever done anything? Or someone's done something to you, and you say, "Oh, it just kills me." I can a little bit equate with that when a couple months ago I went out hunting with one of the boys, and I lost my cell phone. Oh man, that just kind of hurt. You know, I wouldn't say it killed me, but it hurt. But maybe you remember an instance in your life, man, it just kills me. Well, the Bible says that the desires of the slothful man kills it inside. He's just, "Oh man, I wish I could have that." So don't think that just because he's lazy and he's sedate and inactive that he doesn't really care. He does care about things and he really wants them, and he's a covetous person. But it's interesting because the second half of the verse says, Proverbs 21:25, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." Even though he desires it and wants it so bad, it's like his hands are on strike. His hands say, "No, I'm not. Oh, I'm not going to do anything about it. Are you kidding? If it takes work, no. I'm not going to do that. And then look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 15. It shows us that, unfortunately, the life of the slothful man is oftentimes like a vicious spiral. Proverbs 19 and verse 15 says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." So the man's slothful already. He's lazy, he's inactive, he's apathetic. And that's, it says that that casts him into a deep sleep. It just gets worse. While he's lazy, then it casts him into a deep sleep, and he really doesn't want to do anything. And I just see this going downhill. But notice that it says that an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Now we see the opposite of that in Proverbs 31 when it tells us that the virtuous woman doesn't eat the bread of idleness, but she looks well to the ways of her household. She is like a watchman or a watchwoman over her home. Now, I've seen a different few loaves of bread in my time. Some are short and wide. Some are long and round. Still others are kind of a flat. But what does the bread of idleness look like? Sometimes I think it looks a lot like Facebook. And it's evident. It's evident by what people post that that's true. Sometimes the bread of idleness may look like soap operas. Or maybe it looks like someone texting continuously over something trivial. But it's a detachment from godly work. It's an improperly timed rest. It's the bread of idleness. The virtuous woman doesn't eat that bread. Now, Proverbs 6, 9 goes on to tell us, Proverbs 6 and verse 9 says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." The same thought is covered in the form of a story over in chapter 24. And let's turn there and then we'll explain. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." So he's saying, I looked at the man who did not maintain the responsibilities that he had in life. And it wasn't about building an empire. It was simply about maintaining his actual physical responsibilities. And so his wall was literally falling over. Thorns were growing. And it just looked terrible. He said, I looked at that and I thought about it. And I learned this lesson. That if you constantly want a little bit more rest, a little bit more detachment from the necessary duties of life, a little more sleep and a little more slumber, a little bit more relaxation, a little bit more time away. It says, then thy poverty shall come as one that traveleth. What does that mean? Well, this was in a day when they didn't have cell phones. You remember that day not too many years ago. And you couldn't just call ahead and say, hey, I'm going to come over for dinner, or can I come over for dinner? Or, hey, I'm going to be through your way. Mind if I stop by and see you? So when a man was traveling and he happened upon your home, that was a surprise, right?
And so I think it's saying that thy poverty shall come as one that traveleth. In other words, oh my goodness, we have a guest. I wasn't expecting this. Got to tidy things up and get it ready. In other words, poverty is going to surprise you. And furthermore, it says, and thy want as an armed man. Okay, now let's elevate the picture. Not just a guest, but an armed guest. A man comes to your door and he has a gun. It's not just that you're surprised, it's now that you're trapped. And so the man says, you know, I want a little sleep and I want a little slumber. Oh, just let me have a little bit longer. Oh, let me neglect my duties one more day. Oh, let me put those things off. I know they're necessary duties of life, but I'm just tired. I just want a little more rest. Let me just take a little bit more. And next thing he knows, he's shocked to find out that he's poor and he's really locked into a lifestyle of want. A lifestyle of need is what that is. The slothful man has let his duties and his opportunities decay around him because his chief desire is to rest. Now, has God permitted us to rest? Yes. In fact, God actually modeled the example of rest for us early in Genesis. Seventh day of creation. He rested. We are to rest. But the slothful man or the sluggard's chief desire is to rest. God's given us all things to maintain in life and to grow. Our health, our mind, our possessions, our families. And all of these take work to maintain. But if we're always too tired to take care of them, they will decay around us. What would happen if I never maintained my car? If I just said, you know, it's running pretty good, and I'm just going to run it. I mean, I'll just go, and I didn't think about fluids or oil or tire pressures. I said, man, it'll roll. It'll go in the right direction. It'll get me from point A to point B. Let's just take it. Let's just use it. One day, I'll be left without a car. What would happen if I never maintained my health? And health is something to maintain. What if I didn't exercise, or I didn't even try to eat right, or I didn't go to the doctor or to certain places that I felt like would maintain my status of health? What if I just let it go? What if I just lived and let things happen? I believe I'd be a pretty miserable person later in my life. What would happen if I never maintained my mind? That is, what if I just mindlessly watched TV all day? And I just kind of vegged and just kind of let it entertain me. It didn't have to think, didn't have to work. I would end up just being an uneducated, uninformed person in society who had no clue what was going on and wasn't even really ready for the debate. Wasn't even really ready to positively contribute to a conversation or to any social change. What if I never maintained my family? What if I didn't discipline my kids? What if I went out fishing instead of helping my wife, or I didn't do special things with them, or I didn't work to provide the things they need? Do you know part of the reason we see homes, not just houses, but homes decaying around us? Slothfulness. Some would argue that they work to provide for the family. And that's good. But that is somewhat of a self-deception if the husband and father, after work, chooses to fish or watch TV or go out with the guys or do something to keep him away from the home so as not to have to fulfill any duties there. One may argue that it's cheaper not to maintain a car. After all, who wants to pay an extra $100 a year in oil changes? But in reality, forgoing a few bottles of oil causes a meltdown in the engine. All the mechanisms lock up, and we're now bereft of a $10,000 car. How many men think it's easier not to maintain their marriage? After all, who wants to invest the time and energy to help with jobs around the house or disciplining the kids or changing diapers or even going on dates? But in reality, foregoing a few hours of work causes a meltdown in the home. All the relationships lock up. Before long, we're possibly left without a wife or a family at all. Why? Slothfulness. A desire to rest from the duties of life, a submission to the lazy nature that would reject God's design and permit our very dwelling to decay and fall in on us. Sometimes men, a decision is in the mix, and honestly, we really don't care what decision is made. And sometimes that's okay. We're just that personality. It's not an important decision. We really don't have an opinion one way or the other. But sometimes we wait and see. We play a backseat role because we fear the repercussions of leadership. We don't like to make the hard choices. We don't like the weight of responsibility belonging to us. So we take on a quiet front and we cower back and let our wives or someone else make decisions that we ought to be making. Beware that we be not slothful. Now, I want you to understand that God's not calling us to be recklessly energetic. Oh, okay, I'm not supposed to be lazy, so I'm just supposed to get up and do something even if it's wrong. I want you to look at Proverbs 13:4. Proverbs 13 and verse number 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the, what's the other? Diligent, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So there's a contrast between the sluggard and the diligent. Now I want you to look at Proverbs 21:5 for an important distinction. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." So there's two different kinds of people here, the diligent and the hasty. The diligent man tends to plenteousness, but the thoughts of the hasty tend only to lack. In other words, there's a failure there. It doesn't really accomplish what he wants. Note that this verse contrasts, though, the diligent and the hasty. And it's interesting because many times we may kind of equate those two. We say, well, I'm not supposed to be slothful and lazy. That man's diligent. That means he really gets up and gets at it and gets going. And that may be true, but there is a distinction between the diligent and the hasty person. But what is that difference? Both the diligent and the hasty have the same end in sight, but the approach is altogether different. The hasty cares little for how he reaches the end, as long as he reaches it quickly. That's the hasty. He's impatient, somewhat thoughtless. The diligent, on the other hand, cares about the end and how to get there. So he considers the wisdom and the consequences of various actions and chooses that which is best. The hasty is concerned with speed. Let's get her done. What is fastest is best. The diligent is concerned with right. What is wisest is best. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for diligent sometimes conveys sharpness. The Hebrew word for hasty, though, carries the idea of speed, maybe even of pressure. Have you ever wanted to cut something but had a dull blade? But you were so impatient that instead of dealing with the sharpness, you simply pushed harder. Got to get this done. Got to get it done now. Don't want to take time to sharpen it. And in the end, you needed stitches or gauze. Your end was want, hopefully not a want of a finger. But you wanted to get it done, but instead of using something sharp, diligent, you were more concerned about the haste and the speed. So we, beloved, are called to be diligent in our work, wisely considering our actions and weighing the consequences of various choices. We're not to be foolish, either by slothfulness or by haste. Pastor and I were reading together recently. The author was stating that the term Christian is used only 3 times in Scripture, and that in his opinion, a better term would be for us as a children of God would be believers. However, Pastor stated that saints may be mentioned even more, and the best term really for us as children of God might be disciple. Disciple. We believe that Christians are disciples, but being a disciple is integrally related to a similar word, discipline. Being a disciple is being one of discipline. That is, we must learn to work within God's parameters and discipline ourselves to work in a certain way toward a certain end. We must put forth effort to mimic our master. Now, in closing, there's one word that could be painted over the life of the slothful person. If we could make a mural tonight that somehow depicted, probably in tones of gray, the life of the slothful man or the sluggard, and said what little bit he did, and maybe said in little scribblings all the desires that he had and the crumbling and the catastrophe and the heartbreak and the things just falling around. We just kind of painted his life into a picture. I think there's one word that we could just plaster over that entire picture. Miserable. Miserable. Now some may say, you know, if I just had a little bit more rest, I'd be happy. I could just be at ease if I could just be on, if I could just, you know, be like one of those people I see on TV. They strike it rich and they just get to be on retirement from the time they're 30. Yeah, that would be the life right there. Not have to do anything, not be tied to any obligations, just be able to rest. But the Bible depicts for us that the life of repeatedly choosing to neglect and defer the duties of life leads to misery. Just miserable. And so the man who should, in worldly terms, I guess, be happy because he's resting, Bible says inside he's killed by his own desires. He'll not labor. He doesn't have a clean conscience. He has nothing to show for his existence. His covetousness is killing him. He's miserable. The person who despises God's design is destined to be miserable. God actually designed us to work. Yeah, he showed us that it was good to rest, but work's a good thing. And I believe that working actually makes us feel better. A little side note, I personally believe that a society that funds people and incentivizes not working actually makes for a miserable culture. I actually think it causes them to self-destruct and to rot from the inside out. Why? Because they were born to work and they're not. So while we say, oh, now that's the life, just getting supported. Inside there's a lack because there's nothing to show for it. And that works on us. Work is a good thing. I believe that working makes us feel better, but slothfulness is a downward spiral and it casts into a deep sleep. So I want us to determine tonight that we're going to be diligent to maintain what God gives us in life. What duties has God given you? What responsibilities has he laid in your lap? We need to maintain those. Grow them. Grow those things for the Lord. May our life not be a picture of the slothful man's life where things begin to fall in and just grow wild because of our slothfulness. Let's strive, and not by some carnal means, to do what we think we ought to do without the power of God. I mean, by the power of the Spirit of God within us, let's strive to please God by living according to his design. by being diligent and by forsaking slothfulness.